You know, this meeting would just not feel like a meeting if it wasn't for that bass guitar back here acting up every now and then. You know, I've just been here 2 or 3 or 4 years in a row, seems like. And every year it's always here just to let me know that it's still here. That's just one of the old landmarks around here. It's wonderful. Appreciate you being here in the house of the Lord, and thank you for the offering, and the whole day has been wonderful. Brother Barnett wheeled in here, him and Brother Anthony, and got a hold of it this morning pretty early, and then, we just kind of enjoyed some of that preaching, and we just had people all day long being used to God and blessed to God right here in this place, right here. And Brother Brent Gabbard being around here, and Brother Savage being around here, and Sister Savage being around here. Brother Dykes being, it's a great fellowship. There's some good men, Brother Mike Roberts here. There's some wonderful folks. There really is, and I appreciate them. I appreciate this service. Brother Randy wasn't just a whistling Dixie up here. You really, if you haven't had a confrontation with the altar in a long while, you would do a whole lot better in eternity lining up here than lining up out there in the concession area. You would. You'd do better. You'd do better. I don't know what that guy ordered this morning when we were pulling through McDonald's. I was going to run through there, and she's going to grab a newspaper, and I was grabbing her a little cup of decaf coffee, two creams, two Splendas. I don't know what that guy in front of me, I don't know what he ordered. The bag wasn't all that big. It really wasn't. I don't know why he ordered it from Hong Kong. I don't know why they sent somebody after it. I don't know what he ordered. I don't know. He probably ordered one of them hash browns and said, "Bring it right now from Idaho." I have no idea. I don't know what he ordered. It might have been some of that South American coffee. It looked like a Brazilian running through the front door with a bag of it. I don't know what he ordered. But I got to the place that I didn't care. I just wanted him to get it. I didn't care. They're giving away free $5 bills. I don't care. Give it to the guy in front of me and let me get that coffee. You know, there's some lines in this world that you line up in, you're just sunk. You're just sunk. I have a little gas station back home. I don't have one, but I've about paid for it. But got this little gas station back home, and the thing that I really like about it is the gas is cheap. You know, 10% ethanol, 80% water, that leaves a little fire in the tank. But filling up, you know, and you stand a 90-10% chance that there's going to be paper in that machine, you know, that you put your credit card in. And there's a big note there that says, if you don't receive your receipt, see the cashier. Okay? I hate that when that happens. Do you? Is there anybody here hates that when I can't even look saved when I go in the door? You can't even. And when you get behind, I'm in line again. Give me one of them $5 ones. I'll scratch that off here while I'm standing up here. I get in this line, and the guy in front of me buys every lotto ticket that's offered in the state of Missouri. I'll take a couple of them right there. I want my receipt. That's all I want is my receipt. And, if he won, and turned around and looked at me and said, I won. You know what I'd say? I'd like my receipt out here on pump one, please. That's all I... Because that's what I'm in there for. And for the life of me sometimes, if I could get people to come to church for the right reason, they wouldn't be a bit embarrassed about lining up. If you get them to come for the right reason, but, you know, sometimes that's really hard to do. I appreciate my wife being with me on this little adventure. And it's just it's a glorious opportunity. I'll grab the Bible right quick, read something to you. Probably not going to preach, but at least some of you that wanted me to will think I'm going to when I read the text. I'm in the book of John, St. John. That's the New Testament for all you astute Bible readers. Genesis, Exodus, John, something, John. New Testament. And I just... appreciate everything. You know, I watch all these folks in here cooking and bringing stuff out and dumping up the trash at the end of this. When I evangelized, there was a lot of things that went on that I really didn't notice. But when you become a pastor, you notice the diligence in some of the workers, and you just notice everybody pitching in there, helping, and it takes that. And I'll tell you, sometimes smaller churches per capita have more help than some of the bigger churches. Sometimes the bigger churches struggle just to get a crew out there, when sometimes little churches just recognize we're all in this thing together. And I really appreciate that. I really do. I got this verse here I want to read you. It's in John. And Brother Barnett's going to be preaching again in the morning, so you need to be here. You really do. And Brother Savage is going to be preaching here in the morning. And so we got a couple of heavy hitters there. And you need to be here and hear that preaching. Brother Anthony Woods back there, he's the new kid on the block over in the Ozarks. He's the new pastor down at Thayer. He has not been to, you've not had a youth camp out our place yet, have you, as a pastor? He's not been initiated yet, but this is his year. We have a few little tricks up our sleeve. Hallelujah. I don't want you to be nervous about nothing. I don't want you to be nervous about nothing. You got Tylenol, I'd bring a bottle if I was you, but I don't want you to be nervous. Hallelujah. So, John chapter number 7. Verse number 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, you may not, some people don't, you may not think that it's important for us to have a move of God, for us to have revival, for us to have an outpouring of the Spirit of God around the altars. You may not think that's important, but you don't know how bad it's going to get, and you need a drink. You don't know how bad it's going to get. You just think that wayward young lady that doesn't want to pay any attention to your rules and your guidelines, you just think her biggest rebellion problem is not wanting to pay attention to you. You don't know how bad it's going to get. You need a move of God. You need revival in your heart. You just think that boy that's sneaking around right now, dipping and chewing on the side, you don't know anything about it. All you know is that you've been getting reports that he's been driving crazy up and down the road. You don't know what trouble is. You don't know what trouble is. You think that our churches are just going to, from this very moment on, be bright beacon lights and have revival every time somebody comes walking. You don't know what we are facing. You don't know what's out there on the horizon. I'm telling you, I recognize this. I see it. I know it. I am part of it. I watch it. There are times that you can have a move of God, treetop tall. There'll be enough liberty in the house that the cockroaches beg forgiveness. And the next night you come through the door, same congregation sitting in the same seat. They act like they're in a different house altogether. I'm mesmerized. I am mesmerized by them stories of them old timers and them brush harpers that would have them meetings that went week after week after week after week. I've been in a few of them. I can't hardly stand day after day after day after day. Because every day is a new day. Every service, you start at the bottom of the hill. And you have to work your way back up to the top. You come through the door saying, boy, we had a move of God last night in the altar. First song tonight, 20 people ought to get the baptism. You turn around and you look, them 20 people didn't even show up. They're not even in the service. You don't know how bad you need a drink. You don't know how bad. You don't know how bad you really need. Well, I'm telling you, I got a girlfriend, and she's a good girl, and she goes to the house of the Lord, and we are compatible, and that's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. That's God's plan. I mean, that's how it's supposed to be. But I'm telling you, you don't know how bad you need something from God in an old-fashioned altar. You don't know how bad. I don't know where it ever dawned upon us that the minute that the altar call's given, that's the signal for 27.8 people to head for the vestibule. I know that there's people that has to work in the kitchen area, and I know because we have the very same thing in our meeting, but I also know that for some people in the house of God, the minute that the altar call is made, their service is now officially at the end. But we're not in here to end this thing. We're in here to start this thing. We're not in here to shut the motor off. We're in here to turn the motor on. We're not in here to come down to the end of the service and say, there ain't nothing can be done for them anymore. We're in here to have this service so folks go out the door saying, I knew God could do something for that guy. It wasn't the end of the road yet. And I tell you, I've noticed it, and I've watched it. Sometimes some of the best services at Calvary that we can possibly have, I walk out the door worrying about the next one. I should walk out the door saying, oh, glory be to God, I can't hardly wait to get back. I mean, I know we're going to have a move of God. And I'm telling you, sometimes they get to singing, I'll fly away. And all I can think about is going to Taco Bell at the end of the service. Ain't enough spirit to blow the fuzz off of a peach. You don't know how bad you need to get out of that seat and come down this aisle and get in this altar and drink. You don't know how bad. I know this, and you'll know this, but when this generation, and that's the only generation that I'm part of right now, when this generation tries to come into the presence of God, they face certain things that certain generations didn't have to contend with on such a great basis. Now listen, I know there's always been demons. I know there's always been devils. I know there's always been politics. Same thing. I know that there's always been opposition. I know that. But I'm telling you, there is a blanket that has been cast over the steeples of independent holiness churches where the pulpits have been zeroed in by the sniper of eternity, and hell is doing its best to knock the first guy out from behind the sacred desk. And if he can do that, he'll shake the moral fiber of everybody else inside that church. I'm telling you, we sit around, chew our fingernails off in the quick, shake our heads, and look with disbelief when the next pulpit trips up, when the next good man falls, when the next little home demolishes, and we sit around, we shake our heads. It's just absolutely beyond some of us. And at that very moment, your home is in the same shape. At that very moment, your relationship is in that very shape. At that very moment, your children are adding to the delinquency of the house of God. I'm telling you, you don't know how bad we need a drink. You don't know how bad deacons need a refilling of the old-fashioned Holy Ghost of God. You don't know how bad Sunday school teachers need to shake themselves and recognize that it's a calling, not just a job. We need a drink, you hear me? We need a, I've listened to some preaching behind the pulpit, and I'm telling you, if you took out their battery, they would stand there like a robot with nothing in them. You put that battery back in there, they're ready to go. But I'm going to tell you something right here and right now, mechanical means has never brought revival. Somebody that just is able to control a pulpit, it's never brought revival. What brought revival was when Jesus said, if you're thirsty, I got something down here for you. If you'll just come and drink it. Now listen. Listen. I ain't a running for nothing. I mean, I'm not in this election right now. I'm not in it. In case you haven't noticed, my name will not be on the ballot. But I tell you what I am in. I am in the fight of my life in our churches. Because some of us are on life support. Some of us, before we can rescue the perishing, need a transfusion ourselves just to get us through the song service. I've never seen so much depression. I've never seen so much oppression. I've never seen so many ministries come into the house of God and dread the fact that they got to preach. I've never seen so many singers that have lost their song. I've never seen so many musicians that have lost their tune. I've never seen such a time. I've never seen revival any harder. I've never seen camp meeting any tighter. Are you getting this? I'm telling you, brother, sister, the preacher ought not be the only guy worrying about the service. If you don't feel a move of God, you ought to worry too. Well, I'm telling you right now, this is Randy Webb's meeting. And I don't care if they have a move of God or not. I do. I do. Well, yeah, big shot. That's because you're preaching a meeting. I wasn't this morning. And I was still hollering. Have your way, Lord. Anoint them. Use them to the glory of God. Well, that's because you're singing. And you're the singer and you got your saxophone. We didn't sing tonight. But I was on my feet with the singers. Now, don't sit there and look at me like that. I'm telling you, there's something about needing a drink of water that ought to get as plain as the nose on our face. If you don't feel like you used to feel and enjoy God like you used to enjoy Him and have the fire like you used to have it, you need to come out of there with your hands up. Young people in our churches that have never seen anybody slain in the spirit. Young folks in our churches that have a measure of spirituality about them because they're youthful and they're full of exuberance and have never seen their grandma and grandpa lost in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Never watched the pastor preach. Until he got under such anointing with God, he had to lay the microphone down and step back and say, well, you heard the pastor tonight. He needs something in this meeting. How you like that? Right there was enough of testimony that every member of this church should have leaned back right then and said, my God, pour the power of God out on top of Brother Randy Webb. I'm telling you, this thing can get contagious, but you gotta get thirsty. Pray, sweetheart. I'm almost feeling dangerous. Next week is Bristol, Oklahoma. We have a few irons in the fire and may even have relatives in the cemetery. So already today, I told Brother Aaron Brock, you better get somebody else on standby to preach Bristol. Yeah. Because, you know, sometimes responsibilities in life just absolutely overwhelm you. And you find yourself having to take care of other issues that you were not planning on taking care of. Yeah. And so, in this very meeting right here, the last few nights, if we're just having a good meeting, because me and my sweetheart is here, you don't know how much fun you can have when Brother John Gabbard gets here. You don't know how much. Bring your football helmet and tighten it down. You don't know how much fun you can have when that guy gets here. I'm telling you, none of this depends. Where was the pastor? Was you even here Sunday night? He wasn't even here Sunday night. Can you imagine? He's hardly ever gone. I just love doing that. I just love doing that. I just wish my folks were here to laugh too. But listen, because I'm gone right now. But he wasn't even here Sunday night. And you know what happened? Didn't have no text. Didn't have no need of one. Had a move of God in the altar. And I looked around and I said, we did it without the pastor. Now don't everybody jump up and shout at once. We don't want to make that a permanent thing, because as bad as he looks, you really do need him. You really do need him, because if he wasn't here, you'd be the ugliest person in the house. You really do need him. But I'm telling you this right here and right now, that move of God that we're looking for, it doesn't depend upon a bunch of preachers and how many people are here. It depends about how bad you want a drink of water, how bad you want God to do stuff for you. That's where it depends upon. I can tell you stories of individuals, and have in years past, of individuals who has tried to guilt me into preaching some nights when I knew that it was the will of God for the Holy Ghost to have his way. I've had them storm up to me. I've had them drive hours trying to bait me, trying to get me to reach out there and take that worm off that hook, when they look at me with them sad, wanting eyes and say, I come a long way to hear you preach tonight. What they mean is, I drove a long way to get entertained. And if you're not up there singing and dancing, I'm going to be mad at you. Well, I hope some of you took your blood pressure pill. I mean, some of you ought to have it embedded in your lollipop and suck on that thing all the way to church. Because it's dawned upon me that our show, our entertainment, our little get-together hour where holiness people enjoy a few minutes with hype, that's not getting the job done. But in an old-fashioned altar, drinking from the well of living water, that's what gets it done. My wife knows. This is a sore spot with me. And the older I get, the more sore spots I have. She knows that when folks come up and say something like, I just come to hear you. She knows already that the carnal side of me is already wishing that somebody else would take over the service that night. Because I'm telling you something. When we come through that door with our preconceived ideas of what we want, 90% of the time, you ain't thirsty for what he wants. Because sometimes he doesn't want the choir to sing. Sometimes he doesn't want you to get to the drums. Sometimes he doesn't want you to sit in the back. Sometimes he doesn't want you to sit in the front. Sometimes he just wants you to start right where the well's at and draw living water. Sometimes, are you getting this? I'm telling you, you can't have revival until you get thirsty. Listen. You think that we're not having a problem. I think 7 more spirits, more wicked than the first, has invaded those who've had it and lost it. I don't think that every time that Brother Mike Roberts or every time that Brother Jeffrey Dykes or every time that Brother Brent Gabbert, I don't think that every time Brother Barnett or every time Brother Anthony, I don't think every time we get up behind the pulpit that we realize that sometimes there are spirits sitting out in that congregation that has one foot on the brake and the other foot on the brake and one hand on the emergency brake, and seven of those spirits in one person have got one purpose in mind: to keep that person sitting like a wooden Indian inside that seat and not have a move of God. Now we can get up behind the pulpit and we can start our sing song, and it goes something like this. Stay with me. Help me while I preach. You're looking at me. Ain't nobody getting in. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I'm telling you, that doesn't affect those devils 1 ounce. In fact, they enjoy watching us sweat, trying to get some kind of reaction from the people. But listen to me. You come through that door Thursday, it turns hell upside down, because the devil knows he can't combat the Holy Ghost. Hey, I'm in a battle right here, right now, with the backatures. I'm in a battle right here, right now, with pornographic, addicted, internet eyes that steal away until mamas and daddies don't even know what the kids are watching. We're not taking telephones away from the children at youth camp because of the ringtones. We're taking them away because of that spirit that gets in young people who enjoys taking pictures in compromising positions and texting them across the campground to the opposite sex. Well, I'll tell you one thing, my little girl don't do that. No, she doesn't do it fully clothed. You just ain't got no idea what kind of spirits we're fighting against. Pray, wife. I'm telling you, I pretty near feel dangerous right now. I mean, well, I know one thing. My boy, I got a good boy. I got a good boy. Tell him to take out the trash. He does it. I got a good boy. Tell him to get up. I got a good boy. And I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. But I doubt this. If that good boy ain't thirsty for the things of God, then he's filling up on something else. Because I'm telling you, you're not going to have a teenage world that ain't full of something. They're looking and they're drinking and they're wanting. And if it ain't the holiness of God, they're going to look for the worldliness of outside. That's why we got to keep an eye on the way that they dress and the way that they walk. That's why we got to make sure that all the young men raised in our churches are bought blue jeans with back pockets. There, look at me, raising a twisting generation that ain't even got no place to put a knife. Don't sit there and look at me like that. I'm telling you, brother, sister, there's devils out there. And we're in a battle. And we come to the house of God and think that a hamburger will take care of it. I'm telling you, we got to have revival. And you got to get thirsty. You got to get thirsty. You gotta get thirsty. You gotta get thirsty. Well, you're just preaching that way because you're at Brother Randy's. No, actually, I'm preaching this way right now, Brother Barnett, because I'm not home. If I was home, I'd be preaching this way. Well, you're not preaching this way because you're going to Bristol next week. No, I may not. But I tell you, if I do, I'm going to preach this way because I don't care whether you're in Virginia or Oklahoma. If you had it and you ain't got it, if you used to feel it and you don't feel it, if it used to get you up now you can't get up, I'd find me a path to that altar and I'd tell God I gotta have revival to save my marriage, to keep my kids in. I gotta have revival for the grandkids. I've gotta have revival. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm gonna do it. Don't look at Brother Randy. In case he passes out, it's embarrassing. He doesn't want anybody to see him hit the floor. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to turn this entire service around and say, it's your responsibility right now to do the next thing on God's agenda that needs to be done to get the victory in this service. Well, no. That's what he gets you for. This is why Brother Charles Barnett's out here. Because I was waiting on that answer there. Pray, sweetheart. I'm telling you, some of the greatest moves of God. I got a text message this week that wasn't obscene. I did. My wife, last night we was on our way home. Wasn't it last night? Randall sent that text. Randall Wilson. You know him? You know Randall Wilson? Little guy from. You don't know Randall Wilson? Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, he's looks like Dennis Heath except shorter. Randall sent me this text last night. I said, you know, when I'm driving, you're not supposed to text and drive. And so I do it, but you're not supposed to. But I really don't do it when my wife's with me because she really don't want you to do it. And so I hand it over to her, and she gets that out. And most times she can see on there, but every now and then she'll reach over there and confess, have me your glasses. Does something good to my heart when that happens. She is a month older than me, you know. But listen, we're going to drive down the road. And she said, oh, look at this. I don't think I was supposed to while I'm driving, but I will. And I picked this up. Brother Shannon, there was the picture of the first tabernacle on Pettigean Mountain, Arkansas, where me and my wife preached and held our very first youth camp. There it was. Right there. You know, it wasn't obscene or nothing. There it was. Right there on that mountain. And I looked at that picture, and the only thing that flooded through my mind, I can't tell you if we had hot dogs every night. Probably. I don't know. I don't know if we had bologna for dinner. Maybe. May have had it for the night service. I can't remember what I preached. But I'll tell you this. I remember looking at that picture. And what I did remember was that night that the Spirit of God fell in that tabernacle and that kid ran out from under the tabernacle. I remember that. I remember it. Because I stand up there, it was an Episcopalian campground. They are not made for shouting. The pulpit is not made for moving. And, oh good, I tell you that. And so when the kid shot out of the tabernacle, don't everybody jump up, you're going to ruin this. When that kid shot out of the tabernacle and ran outside, I was excited about it until he turned left and headed for the back of the tabernacle. And I wasn't still really alarmed about it until he turned left again and shot across the back outside the tabernacle. But what really got me is when he turned left again and started back up the side of the tabernacle. Because the tabernacle, the back wall of the tabernacle was on that cliff. And when you walked up to the window, the back of the, I can almost see it right now. Anybody got a rope? I can, you walk up to the, oh, don't let me down now. Hand me that guitar with that great chord on it. Because you get right here and look out that window. I mean, I'm still in the tabernacle and it does this to me. You look out that window. Missed a spot right there. Look out that window. Look at it. But the only place that that tabernacle had that wall was when you was in the tabernacle. When you were running outside the tabernacle, there wasn't no wall. Wasn't a wall. You just got this kid running like a banshee Indian. I mean, he was trying out for the Sioux Indians. I mean, his best friend's name was Custer. That kid was running, and I knew it was serious when Brother Gunther Casey turned and looked at bull, saw that. Brother, I knew it was serious. And when Sister Casey broke for the outside, I knew it was serious. I couldn't get over the altar, and besides that, there was a dog in the tabernacle at that particular moment. And yes, there was. Yes, no, I didn't bring it. It wasn't part of the illustration. But I couldn't. And that kid, so help me, so help my wife, so help anybody that was on that campground. That kid ran to the edge, stopped, raised his hands, and went dancing back down the side of that tabernacle. And if that kid had been as spiritual as some of the kids in here right now, we'd have been having a funeral instead of a revival. You think we don't need to have a move of God inside of our churches? We've got our young folks that are running for the edge of something. And if something don't stop them before they plunge over the side, we're going to lose them. Every one of our young ladies is going to grow up to look like Taylor Swift. Every one of our young men are going to grow up to look like Keith Urban. Every one of our singing groups is going to want to look like Rascal Flatts. Everybody, are you getting this? I'm telling you, trucks and cars in this parking lot right now, that if we did a sweep and checked on what was in some of the tape players, we'd have to cast the devil out of your dash. Don't sit there and look at me like that. We need to have a revival. You need to get thirsty where God can give us a move. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, we just don't have it like we used to. If that is your testimony, I want you're number one. You're number one, Hank. Come here. We just don't have them old-time preachers preaching. You're number two. You're number two, Homer. No offense if your name is Homer. You're number two. I'm telling you, the only thing that's changed, the only thing that's changed is the desire of the people of God when they come into His presence. I'm telling you, somebody can still tear the roof off of this place. Somebody can still kick out of the graveyard. Somebody can still rescue an adulterous woman who has come down to the well. Those days aren't over. You just gotta want it to happen. You really might ought to get excited about this, because I'm going to leave a list here for Brother Gabbard. And what I don't get covered, I'm going to let him cover it. Hallelujah. I am telling you that right here in this room, right now, somebody could get up out of their seat, step out into an aisle, bring a filthy habit down to this altar, and not even have to tell 27 people what it is. And God will give you a fresh drink. You'll never thirst again. That's right. I'm telling you, some man in this room with such a filthy, dirty, rotten habit that we'd prefer putting them in prison. We don't want them to register as sex addicts. We don't want them to register as sex offenders. We want to just go ahead and put them in the zoo and let them be fed with the rest of the apes in there. But I'm telling you, there's a Spirit of God still alive in the church. There is a power of God still alive. I don't care what kind of life you have lived. I don't care what kind of woman you have been. I don't care what kind of reputation you got. If you'll get thirsty tonight, He'll give you something pure and something holy. And we call it revival. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. Any of you girls in here, any of you young ladies, or any of you young men, or any of you all, now I know you're not. I know you're not. Because these things don't happen in our holiness young folks. But if any of you all having an identity crisis or a, are you having some kind of an emotional crisis that by hurting yourself, you feel a sense of relief? I ain't nuts. Over in our part of the country, it's referred to as cutting, where little girls, 18 and 19 and 20, shut themselves off in a bedroom and find a razor blade and receive some kind of gratification through the pain by drawing attention to the fact that they have self-destruction in their bodies. And sometimes the mamas and daddies don't even know enough about their children. They even know that they've got scars on their arms from doing that. Sometimes we're the last people that find out, and it's some of their school friends who drop the note on us and tell us, boy, it's quiet now. That only happens in a Baptist church. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Spit your gum out. Put it behind your ear. Hold on here. That only happens in a Methodist church. That only happens we're around Benny Hinn. That only happens for the 30,000 people in Joel Osteen's church. That doesn't happen among us. Well, if things like that isn't happening among us, where's our young people going? Where are they going? Why are they here 1 year in youth camp and the next year she's pregnant and unmarried? What's the deal? What's the deal? What happened to our dads that was the spiritual leader of the house, who now knows more about the coonhound than he does the life of his children and what they're even involved in? What's the deal? Pardon me if your name is Lucille. It just kind of sounds good with that little phrase. What's the deal, Lucille? What's the deal with mamas that have suddenly reached such a place in life that they feel like that they have to start taking some kind of fleshly means of changing their very own physique just to keep up with the look of the teenager? What's happening to us? I'll tell you what's happening. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. And when he comes back and finds that place still not filled, finds that person, they wasn't thirsty. They wasn't interested in more God. They wasn't interested in the Holy Ghost. They wasn't interested in their home. They were just interested in feeling good to the end of the service. How you feel?
Oh, I feel better.
How you really feel?
Oh, I really feel better.
Well, I'm glad, but I'm not a psychiatrist. And this altar is not a couch. And we don't want to have to see you every Thursday at 7 o'clock for this same feeling. What we want is when you come down to this altar, you turn around, you step up you look at God and you say, I want something to fill every place inside of me that I'm fixing to turn loose of and let it go. I don't want to go back to my seat. I don't want to go back saying I feel better. I don't want to go back and walk outside and say I feel better and not pick up my cigarette till I'm 3 miles out of town. I ain't talking about that kind of revival. I'm talking about the kind of revival that recognizes that when that unclean spirit goes out, when he comes back, he brings with him 7 more spirits more wicked than the first. And the last of that meeting, the last of that revival, the last of that camp meeting, the last of that service, that's why it gets harder and harder and harder and harder, because that opposition grows. Now, I really have not preached very well tonight, but I'm telling you one thing right here and right now. I feel within my heart that there has been a few times that the Spirit of God was trying to get somebody's attention. I felt that. I mean, I heard a witness of the Spirit. I heard some of these men of God in here hollering amen and glory be to God and hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. And they're not preaching that and hollering that because they haven't preached the same thing. They do preach the same thing. We recognize it. It's not just a local thing. It's a church thing. And the only thing that can combat that is for you to lean back in the church and say, I got to get in that altar. I got to get in that altar. I got to get in that altar. I'm an 18-year-old boy, and I've been sitting around looking at girly magazines and looking at illicit stuff on the internet. I got to get in that altar before I find myself in a jail. So you've got to have revival. You got to have it. Got to have it. The last person in the world that you ever thought would mess up was one of your favorite preachers in the Independent Holiness Fellowship. But they did. And you know why they did? Because they got full of something else other than revival. Father, I brought this down to a point right now, and I'll just be honest with you, I really ain't. I never even got, you know. But I did cover enough places and enough areas on your unction. You know I could turn this Bible around and show people on the first 5 rows that there was things I talked about and preached about tonight that weren't any more on my mind. Not on my mind, nothing on my mind, not even, no more than a rabbit hunt right now. Wasn't on my mind. In fact, my notes show that someplace toward the end of this meeting, tonight folks was going to be on their feet, worshiping God, hollering, glory be to God, hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. But you have given us another chance for a drink. You have given somebody a chance in here to save their home. You have given some young boy in this church tonight a chance of being something other than a reprobate. You have put a holiness, willpower in some young lady that she can find herself morally pure for the rest of her life. Oh my God. We can't lose our drummers. We can't lose our guitar players. We don't need them down at the gymnasium. We don't need them at the prom. We can't keep letting all of our saxophone players and our trumpet players. We can't put them all in the band, let them be in the Rose Bowl. We can't keep doing that. We can't keep doing that. We can't keep having our choirs come and practice. And we have to keep letting older and older people get in it. Because the younger people, they don't even show up. We can't keep doing that. And Brother Barnett, Brother Mike Roberts, Brother Randy Webb, Brother Lindsey Savage, preachers sitting across this room right here, I tell you, God, I tell you, we're gutsy. And we ain't afraid to get in a good scrap. And we ain't afraid to preach, thus saith the word of the Lord. But every now and then, Lord, even us guys have to step back and say, boy, I sure could use a blessing. I sure could use a fresh touch of revival. I really could. So your heads are bowed, and nobody's looking around. And there's people that go to the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle. And when we're praying for folks and having a move of God, there's people at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle that on more than one occasion has walked over and got my wife, reached over and got me by the hand, drug us right down there in the middle of all of it, and turned and said, let's anoint our pastor and his wife that the glory of God could fall on them and they could be blessed as they labor. I'm telling you, nights like that are priceless. Priceless. And right here in this room, your head's bowed, nobody's looking around. Might have music in a minute, might not. I don't know. I'll tell you, sweetheart, I'll tell you. You know, I got these little cups up here. These little white cups. They're really not. They're really nothing. You know. They're really. You know. Sometimes they're not very big cups, actually. How old are you? 8. That 8-year-old boy right there just. He's holding one for me. It just fits him. You notice that, how that cup just fits him? Now, you're bigger than he is. But just hold. Yeah, just. Oh, yeah. Huh. How, you care to tell me how old you are? It just fits him. I say, it just fits him. You hold one of these. That fit, how's that feel? Are you related to him at all? See if you hold that right there. How's that feel? It's amazing. Now, I mean, you're not heavy. Kettle calling the pot black. You're not heavy. But he's holding the same cup you are. He's a lot littler than you are. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Hey, this absolutely blows my mind. You would think, Brother Randy, that this would just fit pastors, but sometimes evangelists. I can't hardly believe it. That cup that 8-year-old boy up there is holding fits Brother Brent Gabbard's hand, sitting right over there, one of our finest evangelists out in the world. I can't believe that. That makes me deduct this in this altar call. This is what I deduct. Are you ready? This will fit anybody in this room, any age, anywhere you're at, any job that you have, any school that you're a part of. It'll fit. It'll fit. It doesn't mean that you become an instant member here of the King Mountain Church, that Brother Randy Webb becomes your instant pastor. Of course it doesn't. No. You become my church member and have to mail me your tithes on Sunday. That doesn't mean that. No, I tell you what it means. It means that God is just as interested in the 8-year-old boys in this room as he is the 80-year-old men. It also says that God is just as interested in a boy that's about 8 inches or 8 feet from the altar as he is the guy in the back that's 80 feet away from the altar. One size fits all. Baptist? Yeah, I believe a Baptist could hold that. A Methodist? I believe a Methodist could hold that. Well, I'm telling you one thing right now. I don't believe some of the things you all believe. I believe you can hold that cup. I believe you can. I believe you can. I believe you can. I was hoping he's coming after one. I was fixing to find that young'un. I was fixing to find that young'un another one. Right there. Yeah. If I was someplace in this room right now, and if you've lost the desire to pray over this little illustration, we were already sunk. Let me tell you what I think. I think somebody in this room right now, oh no, you have everybody stand, you have everybody right here, you have them raise their hand, are you here, or you? I think that somebody right now in this room that recognizes I don't feel it like I want to feel it, and I haven't done like I know how to do, and I'm reaping some of the benefits of my choices by the very rebellion that I'm seeing in my home. A husband can reach over and get his wife right now. They can stand to their feet, walk down that aisle together, come up here to this altar, raise their hands and tell God, I'm hungry and I want to be fed. I'm thirsty and I want to be given drink. I need some. They can blow the very lid off of this service tonight. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Well, what are you going to do if they don't? I'm going to look around in a minute. I'm going to say, let's all come pray. And everybody's going to go out the door saying, I feel better. But you're not going to get better until you get thirsty. You're not going to get better until you get thirsty. You're going to get better. Yeah. Boy, I just enjoy going to that church. It just makes me feel better. Get up close to the altar. I'm telling you. And then you won't feel better till somebody else gets to feeling better. It's a contagious thing. Okay? Okay? Going once. I just give him that cup while it goes out. Next. 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 Boy, there's a couple of them. Next. Next. Next.